listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 15th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we are going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Always a great way to start our program. And tonight, we're just going to be a little bit more relaxed in our discussion. We're going to kind of cover several topics. And I'm pretty sure, Dr. Hunter, you have it from here?
Of course, throw it over to me, Michael. Actually, yeah. Michael and I were talking before the show that we might leave this a more open-ended program for topics, and that's why I'd written in the chat earlier, anybody has any ideas, any questions, something that you'd like to talk about, let's go for it. But the one thing we thought we might start out with is a few tips on how to deal with stress and worry and fear, and because there's a lot of that going around, it seems, these days. And I think that it's pretty normal for all of us to feel a little anxious or anxiety, because when things are very uncertain in our lives, you know, it's that, as Dr. Kelly was saying, when you feel like things are in chaos, they're out of order. So as our life is out of order, or the potential to be out of order, it does, you know, give us a little bit of nervousness, you know, thinking about it. I think that's perfectly understandable, perfectly natural. If things become a little bit chronic, there are some things I think that are helpful, and I know I have to do it for myself also, is honestly just tell myself, you can worry between 1 and 2 o'clock, that's all you get, and then go do stuff. And so I kind of start managing time when it comes to where I focus. Now, that it's not always entirely effective, but it's certainly a helpful thing, that if there's things I need to think about, then I can allot it some frame.
Right.
That makes sense, Michael? It's just, yeah, give it a frame, a focus, and I can go over some different kinds of thoughts in my head, have my little anxiety moment, and say, okay, I don't have a solution right now, so I'm just going to let it sit. And I go do a few things, try to get on with it. I'm still feeling a little worried, so I'm going to allot another piece of time. So it's to me, it's no different than if it's grieving, going through an emotional time. I think emotions mm-hmm. can be directed into pockets of time that are more manageable, so they don't get the better of us. At least that's my my first way of dealing with it.
Well, I think that's a great point. And, you know, I think to me what jumped out was it gives you a measure of control. You're controlling, you know, how you're going to react and how you're going to feel. And, you know, I'll admit, you know, I've been feeling afraid and anxious lately, and not in a, you know, it's, you know, keeping me up all night kind of way, although maybe a touch, but just a general sense of unease that I've been feeling the last week or so, which kind of made me talk with Dr. Hunter and, you know, ask her about it, get some, always a good place to go for some great tips, Dr. Hunter. And it's really just about focusing on what we can control, what is within our realm of control, and also, are we trying to control things we should not be?
Hmm.
One thing I also think about is, and this just helps me, but when I realize and I really think about the fact that whether I'm worried or not, whether I'm anxious or not, you know, whether I'm afraid or not, the world's going to continue spinning and things are going to continue happening regardless mm-hmm. of how I feel about it. So, you know, feel the emotion because you need to. It's natural, but don't dwell in it is kind of my takeaway from, you know, from my own experiences and what we've talked about so far tonight, even before the program. But and I hope that that might help and touch, you know, somebody else, that they might connect on that. But it's, you know, not hard to understand why we've talked about this particular subject mm-hmm. So often of late. It's because, you know, we are in a once-in-a-century kind of time. We're in a period of great yeah. unease, and this is a period that's going to be, you know, in history books that people are going to read about.
I know it's it is. I think in this last 50 or 60 years, the globe, so to speak, generally the globe has not had such a challenge to deal with. So it's new. It's new for a lot of people, but I think for the most part, people are managing and getting through it. It's you made a very good point about control, you know, Michael, is do we have control over something? What can I control? Wendy was saying she was off work sick for a while, and she had to get insurance papers and different things together to go back to work. And that brings up another point of finding things to do. If you do happen to be somebody who is at home, it's you get up in the morning and you think, oh, what do I want to do today? I have found that when I go to bed at night and say, this, and this is what I'm going to do tomorrow morning, so that I've already given myself a directive. And in the morning, that's kind of all I can think about. so it's I get it done way better than if I have a blank slate to mm-hmm. my day. And so that we are getting whether it's insurance papers, a lot of people are applying for employment insurance. You know, there's lots of things that people are having to do right now. So get up in the morning and that's what you do. And you get that done and your energy is kind of flowing. But you also feel like you've accomplished something. So these are, I guess what I'm saying too, is that during stressful times, it's so easy to let things go. And then you kind of at the end of a week, you say, I didn't do anything. And then you start getting hard on yourself and feeling kind of bummed out. So it's to do your best to manage time and control the things that you can control. And, you know, we've been saying this the last couple of weeks. Make sure you reach out to other people. Have contact. And, I mean, everybody needs to vent a little bit. Like, what is the world coming to? You know, why are they buying toilet paper?
It almost seems like we have to vent more often lately than usual. I don't know why.
Well, I'm with you.
Being facetious, of course. Yeah, I think it's quite obvious why.
Yeah, it is obvious why. And it's very natural for us to feel worry or try to find reasons or, you know, pinpoint problems or, you know, whose fault it is. And it's really ridiculous to do that. All we really need to do is say, you know what, we have an issue right now. Doesn't matter how it started. doesn't matter where it came from, we have an issue. And we have to deal with that issue, and it's temporary. So that would be the thing that's most at the top of my list, is reminding myself every day, this is temporary. It's all temporary. You know, it's a phase. It's one day at a time, 1 week at a time. And I've said this before on the program. I'm used to being on my own, like isolated to work. Mm. But I got to tell you, I get a little restless, especially this weekend. I sure would like to be doing this or doing that, or I've got some projects to do, but I need supplies and I don't have any, you know, that kind of thing. So you start to, it gets to you. So you have your moments and you just say, this moment will pass. But, you know, Cecilia made a comment in there, but wondering about reincarnation, re-embodiment. That's a huge topic, maybe for a show. We could probably talk about that next week. But she mentioned that so many are leaving their bodies and moving on right now. And well, while that may be absolutely true, more in numbers than would otherwise have been, had there not been, you know, this virus going around the planet, I think that nature is having her way also. Now, again, I'm not going to get into any big conspiracy things about where this all started, but I am going to say that in the natural ebbs and tides, you know, between this dimension and other dimensions, there's this constant flow of energy. And so, you know, for me, I just send a white light to all the people who are passing on right now, and my energy goes more toward their families and the people experiencing loss. Because, to be honest, Cecilia, I can't tell you for fact what happens when people leave. I can tell you my experience or other theories. But, but that is a good topic. We'll talk about it later. Sure. So, again, it's being supportive here and now down on the earth and staying grounded and giving support to people who have loved ones who are not well or people who are, you know, feeling trapped. But I got to tell you, Michael, the stress that essential workers must be feeling right now, grocery store clerks, you know, people in gas stations. I mean, the list is long for people who are keeping us going. And I just thank them all the time. I don't go out much, right? Maybe once a week I go pick up a few things, but I just like to smile at them, say thank you very much for doing this, you know, just wow, what a life we're living now, you know, something light. And it's a relief to them because they're all feeling stress, and so are most shoppers. Well, I would rather be one to spread a little joy, you know, and make light of, oh, I kind of like this social distancing thing. Get out of my space. and try to find a light side of it. But I tell you, I send a lot of energy to these essential workers. I'm so grateful.
And it's times like this that you really understand what essential truly means. And it's, you know, it's these people on the front lines in the healthcare industry. It's people that are, you know, keeping things open for people to get food and get supplies they need. It's people that are doing the work to keep, you know, the basics of society moving. And that really reminds us what is truly essential. And, you know, there's always a silver lining to every cloud. But if this tragedy were to pass without us learning at least some lessons about ourselves and about the world, that would just expand upon the tragedy more. It's up to us to take these obstacles, these horrible things that have happened throughout our entire human history, and learn from them and understand them and use it to help us propel forward in our level of awareness. It's how we've, in many ways, how we've developed over the past many millennia.
Well, I think that we're learning a lot of things about our infrastructure, our culture, our societies, our communities. Dr. Edwards said, think about the workers who are able to work from home. They might get spoiled. Yikes. but it's we're learning a whole, well, We're learning about what existed, but we weren't aware of how important it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we're reprioritizing. We're learning more about families and teachers and schools. And so it's a lot of information that we're digesting right now and trying to see all these different angles of how we exist in this world. And it can be overwhelming at times, you know, because we la 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 carry through our days and don't think much of it, and now we have to. So again, to be kinder to ourselves, to say, wow, I didn't realize that, or oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And sending out good energy instead of, you know, letting it sit in your body as worry or stress or feeling the burden of it, just turn that kind of negative into a greater positive. Now, I am in no way minimizing the stress that's very real about people saying, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I'm going to buy food. So I want you to know that's a very real concern. I was a single mom for over 20 years with three kids, and there were times it got a little tricky. So I am well aware of, as a matter of fact, I was telling a friend of mine a couple of nights ago, I don't know how these moms are doing it. I really don't. We never had this kind of a catastrophe to deal with. We just had regular life, and that was bad enough. So, my heart goes out to everybody, but there are resources. So this is what I say, we have to put our pride aside. You have to, you know, kind of dig deep and say, you know, oh, Cecile, you just said we need to grieve and process the pain. You're absolutely right. That's a really good point, actually, about pain. We're not used to dealing with this kind of socialized pain. And I know a lot of Middle Eastern countries, African countries, they have dealt with different kinds of experiences, especially war-torn countries. But, you know, North America has been pretty indulged.
The West world, or, well, even just the first world nations and places, you know, throughout Asia, Europe, in different parts. I think you really hit on a great point in that we have a bit of privilege that we've enjoyed the latter half of this past century in the industrialized world, in that we've come a long way technologically. We have medical developments. We don't have the same types of diseases that would commonly take people very often in the past. You know, it was not uncommon for people to have several spouses in their lives, but not because of divorce, because they would die of natural causes. You know, tuberculosis being one of the most prolific diseases that we've been able to really combat. So we don't have the perspective of having to deal with this kind of death on a daily basis in the relative, you know, I say relative because depending on where you are in the spectrum, it's very different in you know, Western society, well, in all societies, ultimately. That's an entire discussion unto itself, but unfortunately, in most of human civilizations, there's always been disparity between those who have access to resources and those don't, but the benefit we have is that the majority of the populations in a lot of countries don't have to deal with these things on a regular basis. And because of that, we have a bit of shock in realizing, you know, that we're dealing with it now. You know, it's a different world than it was in 1918 when we had this occur again. And even that was a different world than pandemics past, where people didn't know. They had no idea why these things were happening, so they didn't know what steps to take. So, in that regard, we do have the advantage of history. Mm-hmm. We have the advantage of having been able to learn from our mistakes in the past, which is exactly, you know, what I was alluding to earlier, too. But
Well, I think that we have been quite sheltered in many regard because of advancements in science and technology and so forth. And we don't like pain. We don't like to get old. We don't like certain things. So we spend a good amount of energy, like, avoiding anything that's difficult. So now we have to face difficult. There's no escaping difficult, even though some people are trying. So we have to face that and just say, you know what? People have gone through worse before. We're good. We have to deal with this. Dr. Edwards said he says it might not be very popular to think that we as humans are part of a natural order just like everything else.
So glad you brought that up, because that was literally going to be the next thing I said too.
But that's a beautiful thing to say, Doctor.
Well,
we
it is.
Are, and this is also part of that facing up to and owning that there is a natural process to life, and death is a very big part of that, although we don't like it in our face and so much of it. Yeah. All at once, or illness.
I think that's very true. And I think there's a core element to Dr. Edwards' point. Well, at least this is how I felt for a very long time, in that you can't separate human beings from nature and nature from human beings. We are part of nature. We are a natural creation. We are different than many of the animals. We have a level of intelligence and awareness that allows us to do things of great wonder and great destruction. But at the very core, we are ourselves animals. We are living things fighting to live in this world, just like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Except for viruses, which just seem to be little machines that have no purpose except to destroy. So they can all, you know, die.
Yeah,
but
You know, I put up speaking of nature, I put up a video on Facebook earlier today that was digital smoke signals. Is Myron Dewey, who does indigenous videos and filmography and so on, and teaches people in indigenous communities how to do that. And he was out for a walk. He lives in Nevada, out on the reservation walking with his son, and he was filming about 200 seagulls swarming around and moving it through the air. It's beautiful. And he said, this is a really rare sight. As people have all quiet and gone home and there isn't as much busy, not as much, you know, smog and pollution, animals might natural migrations have mm-hmm. started changing. And he said, this is, you just don't see seagulls in the desert. He said, this is desert. And there's like, it really was extraordinary to watch this film that he made. And so he said, we're going to see that in nature, and how nature is moving, coming out. And I know there's a lot of videos going around about, you know, deer in towns, and in England, the goats were taking over and eating everybody's flowers and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, but goats will be goats.
Yes, they will. But I think that's where we're seeing how we, you know, we have pushed nature aside in many regards. And as soon as we kind of move over, we see the beauty in nature, and that it's healing in many ways. So I have to believe that while this is a really difficult time, it's a reset button for so many layers of our life, not just the way humans live, but I think for the way the earth lives and how animals live and, you know, the climate. And so it's, you know, there's lots of elements to this that Dr. Everett said he read somewhere that air pollution levels are back down to pre-World War II. And I've read this too. It's a good point to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some positives, I believe, that will come out of this. I know the economy sucks. You know, lots of things suck at the moment. But when we get through it, and we will, we're going to see how we've also benefited in other ways, and how, you know, we have kind of helped to restore, at the very least, some of our thinking, the way we think. And that's, I think, what's most extraordinary about what is happening. That's my view.
Absolutely. Well, it's...
So if anybody...
Yeah, go ahead.
So if anybody has... something else they want to throw out at the moment. Otherwise, maybe we can just get on with selecting some cards.
I think that'd be a great idea.
But, you know, maybe we will, if that's okay with you, Michael. We'll follow Cecilia's lead and talk about reincarnation next week.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That was I think that's a great idea. You know,
we haven't talked about it for a long time, so I think it's good timing.
No, and I always like to bring out the whole interesting topics of, you know, how does reincarnation work? Does it go both forward and backward in time? It's all kinds of interesting things to talk about.
Yeah.
One thing I was curious about, actually, upon Cecilia's question, is how many humans have lived? And upon Googling it, it appears about 100 billion, give or take, have walked this earth. Which is kind of an insane thing to think about, isn't it?
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of different perspectives. That's a lot of unique minds and worldviews and thoughts that you know, that were unique unto themselves and will never be seen again, but just like us. It's what makes, in many ways, you know, life special is its temporary nature. So I'm looking forward to that discussion. And I think we have some people coming in for cards, but I was just going to, you know, wrap up on the topic of nature and kind of the reclamation. It is good to see. It's good to see that if we truly apply ourselves, we can bring about noticeable change relatively quickly. Now, I think it's going to be tough for people to stay like this for very long. I mean, this is kind of against our natural inclinations. We're not socializing, we're not doing things, but as we transition to, you know, cleaner forms of energy, as we transition to different social habits and behaviors, which is, will be necessitated by the changing world that we'll go through in the 21st century, but we're going to see a lot of change, and I think some of it's going to be very good, and I think we have the potential to make positive change. And the clean air, you know, pictures of New Delhi, seeing a beautiful sky and, you know, wonderful monuments without the haze is, you know, one of the few bright things to come out of this whole calamity. The tragedy of the situation can't be ignored, but there are things that we can draw from. So that's all I was going to say about that.
I totally agree, Michael. Right with you. So getting on with our next segment, I think we have Dr. Edward up first. Do you want to pick a card on?
Well, I'm focusing really hard, and I'm trying to think of a card that he's never gotten. Let's see. He'll have to tell us. It's number 39, Education. That's a good one.
Education.
I don't know if we pulled it in a while, but Dr. Edward, continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life, experience, situation, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, Edward, the supporting card to that's the Emperor. And what I appreciate about that in regards to partnering with education is that you're learning your own view of self-management, managing others, kind of being your own authority, but also that you're going to continue to learn through that. So I think there's this evolution happening in you, a confidence, self-certainty, and you're doing it in a really good way because you're still hungry to learn. I think there's nothing worse than somebody who thinks they've learned what they need to and I'm just the boss, right? and so this is saying that you're in this other evolutionary stage that's really positive, and you've got a really good attitude. So I like that a lot.
Very good.
Just before we pull a card for Darlene, Bonnie Sue has asked our opinion on what's said about the 15% of us with the RH factor, if we have time to touch on that subject. That's actually a really interesting subject, Bonnie, but I think what you're asking is 15 or less percent that do not have the RH factor.
actually had to look that up. I was unfamiliar, so I think that would...
Well, I'm an Rh O negative, so meaning that Rh, that rhesus protein that they learned in rhesus monkeys, that is, if you have an Rh factor, it means you have that particular protein. Now, for the most part, all blood types have relationships with proteins that are equivalent to something in nature on the earth. The Rh O negative, however, does not. Then that's where we get into the Anunnaki theories and alien blood type theories and hybrid theories and different theories. But it just means the Rh O negative doesn't have a particular protein. And there's a whole lot of things that go with it. It's a very unique blood type. But one of the studies that is still early onset in China is that people with O blood types tend to have, they tend to not be as at risk to this COVID-19 as other blood types, primarily like AB. So, Wendy just said, ooh, this is a good topic, too. We can have that in an upcoming show. I love that, blood types. I've been following blood types and studying some of that for a number of years because I have theories on DNA and how that comes. I just find it really interesting. It's just another way I entertain myself. So, so we'll talk about that future. So I hope I at least, you know, did answer a little bit of that, and unless you have anything else to add to it, Michael, we'll move on with Darlene's cards.
This is a fascinating new concept to me. I was just glancing over some of the things that I found online, mostly relating to pregnancies, just at a glance, but I think that yes. It has deeper, you know, based on what you said, some deeper implications. It could be a discussion unto itself, so I think we have 2 weeks ahead of us.
Oh, I love it. We don't have to think so hard.
Well, that's always my goal, so. All right.
What have you got for Darlene?
All right. I have, wild card number 6, entropy.
Mm. Mm.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Well, Darlene, for you, in support of that is the 6 of clubs. I love that. I think what this is indicating to me is that you are absolutely ready to move forward with your life. And as you mentioned, going back to work, there's your vibration is different. Your frequency of energy is, rather than being contaminated, you're more contaminating to others in a really good way. So this is that celebrating life. So as you change your vibration, that entropy, then you're heightening your self-awareness and you're able to bring a little bit of joy into other people's lives. So like I say, in my view, you're absolutely ready for whatever life brings you next. So, you know, it's interesting. I see a lot of hearts around you, just as I said that, little hearts. So I'm seeing something affectionate, relationships changing and improving. So people really appreciate you. So you're going to find that in the next little while. So I think we have Wendy up next.
All right. And Wendy, let's see. I have wild card number 1, paradox. That's one of my favorites. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, I love that. Before I go on, I think I got a little bit of Wendy and Darlene's little messages in the chat confused. It's Wendy going back to work, I believe, not Darlene. I think that's what it is. But again, to you, Darlene, you're ready to certainly move forward in the next chapter, and that still applies. But Wendy, with paradox, I also got temperance, which is that's going with the flow. You know, it's being patient and tolerant with yourself and looking at all sides, but knowing that there might be some really cool things going on and something that you wouldn't expect. So I'm going to say be like water. So that's what, that to me is the, it's kind of the message in that. It's like be like water, flow like water. So I know that sounds odd, but I think that Wendy's got a really good energy happening right now, and go with the flow.
Oh, so. Very nice.
So we have Bonnie Sue is next. Nice to see you here, Bonnie Sue.
All right. And I have pulled number two, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, now, in support of that, Bonnie Sue, the Six of Spades came up. Now, what that says to me, along with esteem and validation, is you could be feeling a little bit of pressure from outside sources. And I don't think it's just because there's a virus going around. You're getting to your destination, though. The goal is in sight. So if you can just keep managing along, sometimes it's an hour at a time, and don't, to the best of your ability, try not to bump into other people's porcupine quills, because you might find that their quills are what's poking you. You by yourself, I think, are doing fine. But you might be, you know, we all get kind of tired of other things that kind of bother us. So I'm just saying that if you're feeling a little pressure right now, it's temporary. And just get right back into your heart, yourself, how you esteem and regard yourself, and be really true to who you are. And from there, you just grow. It's like, you know, that white light in your body, and let it beam. So that's just what I'm seeing there. So don't let people push you around. So if that makes sense to you, I hope it does.
Nice.
So,
all right.
Did I miss anybody?
I don't think so. I was just scanning myself. I think we got everybody, but I think that what I have to say, I'm very much looking forward to the upcoming weeks of discussion. I'm looking forward to maybe looking into this, you know, RH factor a little bit more and having an educated discussion. And next week, of course, we're going to be talking about reincarnation. And for the last few minutes, I've also, in the back of my head, been trying to think about a funny way to put a repeat discussion of reincarnation. There's got to be a funny way to throw that together. Something that just keeps happening again and again. But it's a great discussion to have because it touches on so many different aspects of metaphysics and what it means to what consciousness means. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's always a fun talk. So,
well, you know, I just want to add in here, being an RHO negative, I am, like, I think the numbers have changed in the last couple of years, but they were saying a couple of years ago it was 5 to 7% of the Earth's population had RHO negative. And that's really small percentage, really. And even if it is, I don't think it's 15% now. I think it's less than that, Bonnie Sue. But I know a lot of people with O negative blood. I'm shocked. That's almost one of the first questions I ask. What blood type are you? Just curious. And I'm amazed at how many O's I know. A lot of O positives, but O negatives. I think my closest friends of six, five of them are O negative. It's very bizarre. And, of course, my kids are all O negative. But they'd almost almost have to be. And so that's, I just wanted to say that I find this, that's another reason I find the topic so interesting is, you know, these collections, like it takes me into another area of, you know, groups, like soul groups that come to the planet and how we're connected. So I just find it fascinating. I'm a pattern freak, so I look for those kinds of things. So I'm really looking forward to that talk coming up. So.
Oh, I think it's going to be great.
Yep.
And, you know, I've really enjoyed tonight's discussion, as always have. I often find when I can't really, you know, think of something interesting enough, even though I know we never have that issue. But I always try to fall back on, you know, what have we been thinking about? You know, Dr. Hunter, what's been on your mind? What's been on my mind? And more often than not, I find that it's also been on other people's minds, too. And
yeah.
This discussion, again, I've said it before, this has become, you know, one of the highlights of my week, being able to come together with this community that we're building and having interesting discussions with interesting people and with people who have genuine curiosity about the world around them. And
yeah.
That cannot be overstated enough, the importance of curiosity.
Mm.
But, well,
agreed.
It's been a great topic, as always. Great discussion, as
yeah.
always. You know, thanks for being with me, Dr. Hunter, and until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week.